Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Mountain Baptist Church. Take your psalm books and turn in your psalm books to Song 164. Song 164 in your psalm books. We'll sing Praise Him, Praise Him. If you would stand, we'll sing Song 164. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank You, God, just for Mountain Baptist Church. Thank You, God, for our pastor. I pray, Lord, that You would just be honored and glorified out of everything that's said and done. For it's in Jesus' name we ask all of it. Amen. All right, maybe seated. And turn in your psalm books to Song 173. Song 173. We'll sing Love Lifted Me. Song 173. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I'll cling. In His blessed praises live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me.
Amen. Well, welcome to Mount Baptist Church on this Sunday morning. Beautiful Sunday morning, right? So definitely going from 8 inches of snow to torrential downpours of rain. Just some general church announcements here. Offering boxes in the back there. The mother baby room is for the mother and babies only. But big room behind the wall there. Obviously, you don't go through the wall. You go through the door. Service times, everything is normal today. We'll have our afternoon service at 4 p.m. and we're going through the book of Revelation. So we're on chapter 19, so we're coming down kind of to the end. So be there tonight if you can. Then our soul winning times, the only thing that's changed on here, which I've kind of mentioned, but it's now on the bulletin, is that we have our normal soul winning time at 1 p.m. today, but Brother Charles is leading up the soul winning time that's usually on Tuesday is now on Monday. So that's the only thing that's changing there. Then the time there is shown as 5 p.m. But again, you want to be on the WhatsApp for both the Monday and Wednesday. Brother Richie leads up the Wednesday time as far as what time, where everybody's meeting up. Just make sure you make note of that. Then our Bible memory, we have Psalm 12, not a huge psalm, but a good psalm to have memorized, is our memory chapter for the month. And then Hebrews 4:12 is a memory verse for the week. And we've had this one before, but it's a good one to have memorized. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it's a longer one, but it's a good one to have memorized. So Hebrews 4:12 is our memory verse for the week. And if you had memorized it and you got your candy before when we had it, on the list, you can get another piece of candy if you still haven't memorized. So that's how that works. If we have duplicates or if we put it on there again. The men's prayer meeting we have on the list here for January 28th. So that'll be in a few weeks. Birthdays. We sang for Brother Luke. I know that last week. We'll sing for Miss Abby, which hers was yesterday, but we'll sing for you today. So, a belated birthday. Brother Wade, you're in January. Where are you at? There you are. So, yeah, I mean, all the best people were born in January. So, you just made it, you know, just like me. I'm at the end there. Just a couple more there at the end of the month. Pregnancies, be in prayer for all these ladies on the pregnancy list. Also be in prayer for all the ladies that just had babies and the families too, because, you know, coming home with a new baby, that's a whole process right there. Whether it's the first baby, whether it's the second, third, fourth, fifth, there's a whole recovery and getting acclimated to having that child there. And so just be in prayer for all the families that just had babies. Obviously we're, as a church, very patient with that. We're not going to come down and be like, well, we didn't see you on Sunday. You had the baby on Friday. I mean, you know, should be there. You know, obviously, there's time that needs to be taken out from that. I recommend it personally to kind of stay back and all that. Just be in prayer for all the ladies there. Can't think if there's anything else. Has everybody seen the sign out there? Hopefully you did, or if you can't, then you probably shouldn't be driving. but I think it looks pretty good. Pretty nice there. Did you end up getting like shoveling the whole path, and then it rained and it all went away? That's how that works, right? Yeah, we need to get a plow service anyway. But yeah, I was laughing when I came here because I'm like, it just poured down rain and like all the snow's going away. And I know you came out here to shovel it. So it was for the women's prayer meeting, right? You know, that's what why you did it. So so anyway, that's about all I got for announcements. If I think of something else, I'll get it in the afternoon service. So Brother Dave's going to sing another song. And who's reading this morning? I think Brother Shane was going to, but you want to take it? So Hebrews chapter 4. So Brother Anthony's going to read that for us after we sing one more song.
All right, take your song books and turn to song number 63. Song number 63, we'll sing What a Day That'll Be. Song number 63. But before we do that, we need to sing happy birthday to Miss Abby Morris. And you put it on Facebook, so you're 26, right? Happy birthday. I mean, if it's Facebook official, I mean, you can't be too ashamed about it. So, all right. You want to stand up? Oh, man, yeah, you got me and your husband saying you got to stand up. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, we got the numbers. So, I will sing happy birthday to, and it was yesterday. Yeah, happy birthday. We'll sing happy birthday to Miss Abby Morris. Here we go. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. All right, we'll sing song 63. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4, we'll have Brother Anthony read that for us.
Hebrews chapter 4, Bible reads, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning that we can gather and hear your word preach. Pray God you be with Pastor Robinson, fill him with your Holy Spirit, and help us all to learn. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So you're there in Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to preach a sermon called Dividing Soul and Spirit. Dividing Soul and Spirit. Now, I preached a sermon, it's been over a year, called Spirit, Soul, and Body. But that sermon is gone. So when we lost our main YouTube channel, there was a period where I was switching streaming applications, and when I did that, I couldn't record at the same time, or got a new camera, I think is what happened, and I couldn't record and stream at the same time. Well, I was on YouTube, and I was meaning to like take those sermons and download them and save them and all that stuff. That didn't happen. And long story short, I can't find it anywhere. And I've had a question here at church, and I've had questions outside of church of people asking about this subject. And usually I'm just like, here's my sermon on that. But I can't do that. And I don't even know where my sermon notes are at from that sermon. It's just like, that happened. I know I preached it. And some of you know that I preached that because you were here. Everybody's shaking their head like, no, nothing. It's like, it must be the Mandela effect or something, you know. No, it's on the website. You know, if you go to our website under the preaching, like it's there. But anyway, that being said, is I'm obviously not going to re-preach my sermon because I don't know where my notes are at. But it's going to be hitting on the same topics. And what I'm going to be dealing with is the fact that there is a difference between the soul and the spirit. Some people believe that it's one and the same. I don't believe so. And this verse right here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, I believe is crucial to understand that this is obviously it can't be the same thing, okay? In Hebrews 4 and verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So you can divide them asunder, therefore they must be different, okay? And here's how you know it's different, because it says, and of the joints and marrow. So are the joints in your body and the marrow in your bones different? Are those two different things? They are. Now, obviously, they're all very closely linked as far as, you know, where they're at in the body and what their purpose is. But, and then it says, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So another sermon for another day is what's the difference between thoughts and intents? Okay? But that's not what I'm preaching on this morning. But there's obviously a difference between the soul and the spirit. There's a difference between joints and marrow. And there's a difference between thoughts and intents. Okay? And the word of God is stating here that it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And basically, it'll show you that divide. And the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And here's where we're going to rightly divide the word of truth to show you, okay, here's what what the spirit is and here's what the soul is, okay? And Let's look, first of all, at, it gives us an example. And a lot of times in the Bible, when it's talking about spiritual things, it'll give you a physical example. This is why Jesus used parables in a lot of cases, or he'll just use physical things to represent spiritual. He says joints and marrow. Okay, well, if you just looked up what joints are, and most of you know what joints are, okay, especially, you know, I'm going to be 37 this month, and I know that my joints hurt. So, I mean, I know what they are. I know where they're at. I know where a lot of them are at, just for that reason. But that being said, is that here's a you know, like a medical or anatomy definition of it. Joints are the areas where two or more bones meet. Most joints are mobile, allowing the bones to move. Joints consist of the following, and it goes into like cartilage, synovial membrane, ligaments, tendons, and I'm not going to go through this whole list because this is not an anatomy lesson, nor am I qualified to give that anatomy lesson. I could read to you what it is, but basically, if you think of ligaments, tendons, cartilage, basically, it's what's holding the bones together so that they can move and all that, right? So that's what the joints are. But marrow is different. Marrow is actually a soft, fatty substance in the cavities of the bones. So inside the bones, there's marrow, okay? And it says this, in which blood cells are produced, often taken as typifying strength and vitality. So vitality be like life, you know, lively, okay? Which is going to be interesting because of what spirit actually represents and, you know, what it's likened unto in the Bible is dealing with life, okay? And let me just give you an example of that, just as we're on that subject of the marrow and how, if you were to read this and say that everything's in order, soul and spirit, joints and marrow. So the joints would apply to the soul and the spirit would apply to the marrow, okay? So let's just take that for what it's worth, okay? And Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. This is definitely a Bible study, the doctrinal sermon, okay? So if you're expecting me to get up here and rip face this morning, probably not going to happen. I can't promise that because every once in a while I get off on a rogue tangent. But essentially this is to teach doctrinally what the Bible teaches about the soul and the spirit, what the differences are. It's going to be important, okay? And I'm not just teaching this just because, oh, that's a cute thing to know. It's important. I'm going to give you the last point I get to is going to be an important thing to know this for a doctrine that we believe about Jesus, okay? Now, in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." So the blood is the life, okay? And this isn't the only place it states this, but if the marrow is where blood cells are produced, obviously we're talking physically, okay? But if that's what the spirit represents, then the spirit should represent life, right? Which it does, okay? I'm going to get to those verses. So I just want you to see that the Bible here is stating, okay, the word of God will divide asunder soul and spirit, just as much as joints and marrow. And so you can kind of look at joints and marrow and be like, all right, here's the difference. And what's the body? You know, because you have soul, body, and spirit. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Well, the body would be the bones, okay? The flesh and bones. But let me show you here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want to prove to you that our being, or who we are, like human beings, we're triune beings, okay, which means that we're made up of three different elements, if you will. And obviously God's a triune God. It's different, though, because he's three persons, one God. We're not three persons, one person, you know, one human being, okay? But we're made up of soul, body, and spirit. Notice what it says here in verse 23. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, what I'm going to be getting to is saved people, our spirit and our soul is saved. It's purified. It's sinless. But our body's not. And that's why it's stating holy. Like, basically, as holistically, he's praying that your soul, body, and spirit meaning that the body is what you got to worry about, the flesh, reining that in with the soul and the spirit, so that that's blameless at the coming of the Lord and all that. And that has to do with walking in the spirit and all that. But that being said, is that it's very clear that there's a spirit, there's a soul, and a body that we're made up of. And go to Luke chapter 24. I'll just show you what's the body. Well, let's see what Jesus had to say about his spiritual body. Okay. Because there is a physical body, there's a natural body, and there's a spiritual body. I know we already hit that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But there is a spiritual body and there is a natural body. The natural body is what we have now. And when Jesus comes back, our natural body will be regenerated into a spiritual body. And then soul, body, and spirit will be completely saved, redeemed, and no sin holistically. Okay. Now, in Luke chapter 24, verse 29, it says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." Okay, so when we're talking about the flesh, we're talking about the body, we're talking about flesh and bone. Okay, and that's not spirit. Okay, this right here, what you see and can touch, that's not spirit. That's not my soul. Okay, that's my body. And so, again, with Hebrews chapter 4, we can see a physical representation of bones and the marrow and the joints and how those things work together, right? And how the marrow is inside the bone. The joints are basically holding the bones together, right? And what I believe, and I'll get to here, go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 is that the spirit is what gives us life. It's us being alive, right? And without the spirit, we'd be dead. Our soul is the spiritual, if you were to take away the body, it'd be like you spiritually, right? It's yourself. It's who you are. If anything, your conscience, okay? Because we're conscious beings. And what I'm going to show you here is that this is different than an animal, okay? Animals, I don't believe, have souls. So, you know, human beings, we have souls, but what I'll show you is that animals have spirits. So that's one big reason why you need to know that there's a difference between soul and spirit. Now, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Okay? Now, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. I believe that's the spirit, right? He gave us a spirit, and that's why our soul is a living soul. There's a lot of souls in hell right now that are not living, but they're still conscious. Okay, they're still they're still who they are, right? The rich man that's in hell is still that person. When the beast, the Antichrist, dies and he's in the lake of fire, he's still known as the beast. He's still known as the Antichrist. And his soul was going to be there. And I'm kind of jumping ahead, but I just want you to see the importance of why this, you know, is something we want to know so that we're rightly dividing the word of truth, that we're understanding why there needs to be a difference there. Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 6, it says, Who also hath made us able ministers in the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit? For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So here, and you can even think about when Jesus says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And the idea of spirit being linked with life. Go to Job chapter 32. Job chapter 32. And just so, you know, no one scoffs at this, obviously this is Elihu, who I believe is not saved. Okay. Actually, you know, you have Job's three friends who I believe are wrong, you know, what they're saying to Job, but they're saved and Job prays for them at the end. But Elihu, I believe, is someone that's not even saved because God's like, "Who is this? Who is this that darkened the counsel with words without knowledge?" You know? And so that being said, though, there is a quote in the New Testament made by one of Job's friends about how God's going to take the wise in their own craftiness. And that's a true statement, okay? So what I want to preface this with, I know this is Elihu talking, but I believe this is a true statement, okay? Meaning that Elihu made a lot of true statements, and the problem with his friends and Elihu is that they were saying a lot of things that were true, but they were applying it wrong, right? And they're like, well, a sinner is going to be punished. It's like, yeah, but Job's not a sinner, so you're applying it wrong, right? And I'm paraphrasing. They didn't say it exactly like that, but essentially, that's what they're saying, is they're saying, like, things that are true, but they're applying it to Job, and that's not the situation, okay? But in Job chapter 13, verse 8, it says, but there is a spirit in man. Well, let me ask you that. Is that true? Yeah. Okay, so not every little thing that he says is a falsehood, okay? Just like the devil, I mean, he's going to have a lot of things that he says true, but he's going to mix in falsehood. And this inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Now, the spirit and inspiration, you could see the word spirit kind of in that word inspiration, don't you? Think of inspiration, expiration. You know, inhaling, exhaling, you know, is talking about breathing. Okay? So when we say that every word of God, you know, that every word of God, or every word is given by inspiration of God, the scriptures are given by inspiration of God, we're talking about the fact that it's God breathed, right? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And, you know, it talks about how David's, or the Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David. And so when we're talking about the Spirit, we're talking about life. Okay? And so I believe this will be very evident when we get to other passages here. Now, when it comes to the soul, like I said, I believe the soul is representing yourself, right? Who you are, like, obviously, your being is the soul, body, and spirit, right? But at the same time, what we're going to get to is with people in hell, they don't have a spirit anymore. But they're still their self, okay? And I'm going to prove this to you, that soul and self are synonymous, okay? Go to Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Matthew 16 verse 24 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So I want to first preface this with that we're talking about being a disciple and not, you know, being saved. Okay. So this passage applies to saved people, not unsaved people. And it's not talking about unsaved people. It says in verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. It's talking about in this life, you know, you're going to save this life, then you're going to lose rewards in heaven. You're going to lose that, you know, all that stuff that you could have had in the next life as far as rewards are concerned. Notice in verse 26. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, a lot of people have used this verse to talk about, like, you know, unsaved people that basically, we'll live for the world, but, you know, it's like, what is that if you lose your own soul and go to hell, right? And they use it in that manner. But go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 is parallel to that. Luke chapter 9 and verse 24. I mean, we even use the terminology, I've given my whole heart and soul into something, right? That doesn't mean you actually signed on the dotted line with the devil to give yourself your soul to that, right? It's just the fact that you're basically invested in it, right? And that's what it's talking about here, is that where's your soul at? Where's your heart and soul? Is it in this life, or is it in the life to come? Is it for temporal things, or is it for eternal things? And that's what it's getting to, but here it kind of really clarifies that we're not talking about our spiritual soul, you know, as far as our, you know, part of our being as far as that spiritual realm that will be in heaven, but more so just ourself in general, okay? In Luke chapter 9, verse 25, it says, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away, okay? And obviously, you know, Paul even wrote, it says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So Paul the Apostle stating that, we're obviously not talking about an unsaved person when we're talking about being a castaway. It's just talking about the fact that, you know what, if you live for the world, you're going to end up being cast away from the things of God. You're going to be a castaway for, you know, winning people to Christ. You know, you're not going to be profitable for the ministry if you're doing that. But here we see that it's dealing with ourself, right? And not necessarily that spiritual realm. Okay, now obviously we know that our soul is in that spiritual realm and all that because our soul goes on into eternity. But go to James chapter 5. Why is this important to know that that soul is referring to yourself? Because it could be referring to yourself holistically, right? Or it could be talking about yourself as far as your spiritual soul, right? And so in James chapter 5, this is important to know that we're not, that soul doesn't always talk about like the spiritual realm, okay? Because notice what it says in James chapter 5, verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So, if you're going to take this in a spiritual manner of like, well, your soul that's, you know, either going to heaven or hell, then you're going to say that, well, basically you have to be converted as a sinner. You have to repent of your sins, essentially, to, you know, save your soul from death. Okay? And you're talking about a brother, so that means that person lost their salvation if they don't turn from their sins. Okay, so you got a big problem here. But if you understand that, if you know, in Matthew 16 to Luke 9, that it's interchangeable with yourself, right? You could put that in there as far as his self. You shall save him. But it's kind of hard to say that in that manner, right? Like in a poetic, nice way. Of saying you shall save, you could say shall save him from death, right? You probably wouldn't say himself, unless he's saving himself like from that. But you're saving that person from death. Why? Because there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is a sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Okay, unless there be people out there be like, well, you know, all sin is the wages of sin is death. Therefore, all sin deserves death. No, there's capital punishment. Or else, you know, why would it say all unrighteousness is a sin and there is a sin not unto death? Okay, we're talking about physical death. We're talking about someone committing sins worthy of being put to death. And it's talking about here about the fact of, you know, someone helping that person be converted from that so that he saves that person's life from dying. Okay? That could even be not even necessarily being put to death, but you're just doing a sin that's going to kill you. Whether it's drinking, drugs, whatever the case may be, there's certain sins that will just take you out. And it's a sin unto death because, you know, the way of transgressors is hard. And there are things that will just kill you. Now, go to Ezekiel chapter 18. This is another reason to realize that soul isn't always talking about you know, the spiritual realm, but just yourself, like a person, physically. Now, if you've ever read through the Old Testament, this should be very clear to you. This should be very evident that the word soul, a lot of times, is just talking about people. I mean, it talks about, you know, 70 souls going down into Egypt. You know, talking about Joseph's brethren and his family, Jacob and his sons and everything. 70 souls went down to Egypt. I don't think they were talking about specters going down into Egypt. He's just talking about there's 70 people going down into Egypt, 70 persons, right, that are going down into Egypt. And many times over and over again, I'll show you that, well, I'm not going to show you many times over and over again, but the fact is that it talks about that soul being cut off from his people. Okay, now, that can't be talking about the spiritual soul, because we're going to see later on that a person can't kill the soul. Okay, only God can do that. And so we can kill the body, but not the soul. So know this, is that soul sometimes can be talking about just you as a person, or soul can be talking about that third element of who you are. Okay. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter, I'm sorry, Ecclesiastes, Ezekiel. I told you to go to Ezekiel, right? Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4. It says, behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, the whole premise of this whole passage is the fact that the Son isn't to be put to death for the sins of the Father. And the Father isn't to be put to death for the sins of the Son. It's talking about capital punishment in this passage, and the fact that, you know what, if you have a child that does something worthy of death, that doesn't mean you get put to death as the father, and vice versa. Okay, I don't have to be put to death for, you know, things that my father did that would be worthy of death. You know, that's just what it's stating in this passage. And people take that out of context and say, well, see, it talks about turning from your iniquity in here, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And this is not talking about eternal salvation. He's talking about physical salvation. He's talking to, if you look at the context, his children. Okay? Now, obviously, he's talking to the nation as a whole. Okay? And in the Old Testament, you know, God's people, if you will, or, you know, basically that nation was regarded as that holistically, even though most of them weren't saved. Even most of them were not the remnant, if you will. But it was a picture of the true Israel, of all the saved and all the children of God. And so that being said is that you need to understand that soul doesn't always talk about that spiritual element. Okay. Now, go to Exodus chapter 31. I'm just going to give you one example of this, but literally you can just go through Exodus, Leviticus, down the line of souls being cut off for not doing what they should be doing. And it doesn't say cut off into hell. It says cut off from among their people and from the congregation. And that could be being put to death, or that could be just being cut off, meaning like they're cast out. Like a leper, you know, like you would cast out a leper, they'd be cut off and put into like, you know, a several house or something like that, you know, like the one king did. But in Exodus chapter 31 and verse 14, it says, ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about capital punishment for not keeping the Sabbath day. Now, obviously, in the New Testament, we don't keep the Sabbath day, so this obviously doesn't apply, because those are customary laws, and that's another sermon for another day. But it says, for whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Do you see how the equivalent here is being put to death and being cut off from among his people? The soul being cut off from among his people. So that being said is that, yeah, we're talking about that person. How about the guy that the parable that Jesus talks about where the guy with the fruitful, and I'm going to forget what he had, and maybe it was a vineyard or whatever, but anyway, remember, he built all his barns up. He tore down his barns, built them up because he had so many goods and everything. And he says, soul, he's talking to himself, right? You know, I'll say to myself, soul, thou hast many goods. And it's kind of interesting, but he's basically saying to himself. Like, it'd be kind of like if, think about this. He doesn't give the guy a name. But if I were to talk to myself, be like, Jason, you know, and talk to yourself like that, right? Now, I don't do that, just so you know. But if you were to, like, inwardly talk to yourself, what you call yourself by your name, you know, myself, you know. But he's saying soul, you know, and he's basically talking to himself. Okay, so that's why he's using the term soul there. But if it said, you know, myself, it just wouldn't sound as good. That's why the Bible, a lot of times, where it could say, like, self or myself, it's not going to do that because it doesn't sound good, right? And obviously that just gets into linguistics on why you do that. But again, that term soul could be talking about the spiritual aspect of who you are, or it could be talking about you just use a person, yourself, okay? Now go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I hope that makes sense with the soul. Because we'll get to the point where soul is definitely talking about something that's not like your physical body. Okay, I'm going to show you verses on that. So, no doubt, the soul can be talking about, you know, you spiritually speaking. Okay? But, actually, a lot of the times, it's talking about just you as a person. Okay? Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, this is why this is important to know, that there's a difference between soul and spirit. Notice what it says in verse 20. So, Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 20, all go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? So here we have the fact that it's clearly stating, and beast is, you know, like we would say animal there. Why would we use the term beast for animal? that being said is that animals have a spirit. But there's a difference because the spirit of man goeth upward, the spirit of the beast goeth downward into the earth. Now, it doesn't say it goes down into hell, okay? You know, like all animals go to hell, you know? I know you've probably seen all the dogs go to heaven, where the cats go to hell and the dogs go to heaven. I mean, I would agree with that assessment, but it's not biblical, okay? So, and geese would go there too. They'd go to hell too. But joking aside, you have the fact that there's a spirit in an animal, and there's a spirit in man. And it's stating here, and the reason it's making this point is the verse before that talks about that a man hath no preeminence over a beast, because we all die. That's the point that's being made, is that we all die. And if spirit is talking about your life, right, and it's talking about the fact that you're going to the dust, that means that the spirit is not with you anymore, you're not alive anymore. And it's stating a fact that we're all made of the dust, whether we're whether there's an animal, whether it's a human being, and we're all going to die. So in that aspect, yeah, we don't have any preeminence over a beast because it's not like the beasts die and the animals die and we don't. Okay. Now, obviously, we're talking about in the physical manner, and Ecclesiastes is all about like what's under the sun, you know, what's done under the sun, what's vanity and vexation of spirit. And it's basically, physically speaking, if in this world we have hope, if only in this world we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Okay, we ought to just eat, drink, and be merry. But we know that there's a resurrection. We know that this isn't the end, okay, especially for the saved. But it's not the end for the unsaved either. It's just the fact that there's a stark difference between that end as far as heaven and hell. And so go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. It's going to mention the spirit of man again here. And Ecclesiastes 12 is all about basically getting older and dying, okay? All those things are being said about the windows being darkened, the grinders are low. It's talking about, like, you can't see, your teeth are all worn down. Like, they're all euphemisms or metaphorical for a person, okay? And that being said is that it gets down to the fact that we're all going to go to our long home, you know, which is like the dust. We're all going to die. So... but in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "Then shall the dust return to earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Now, one big reason why this is important is because do all souls return unto God who gave it as far as do they all go upward? Do all souls go upward? Because if they do, that means everybody's going to heaven. But all souls don't go upward. All spirits do. Okay? Notice what it says. In James chapter 2, go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And if you have any questions on this, you could ask me after the service. I know this is a little deeper, but I just want to show you the difference between soul and spirit. You know what the body is, so I'm kind of not touching on that too much here. That's the tangible thing you see, so you don't really have to like explain that away. But in James chapter 2 and verse 26, it says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Okay. Now, obviously, it's giving you a physical example to prove the point of what was said earlier in the passage about, you know, faith working, or works working with your faith, and whether you have an alive faith or a dead faith, and it's really getting into whether it's a profitable faith compared to unprofitable. But it's using this example that, you know what, the body without the spirit is dead. You know what that means? That the spirit is what gave it life. But how about this? I believe just as much as the body without the spirit is dead, the soul without the spirit is dead as well. And go to Genesis chapter 35. I'm going to show you another place where when the soul departs, it says you're dead as well, that the body is dead. So Genesis 35, this is dealing with Rachel dying, okay? So you know that she died at childbirth with Benjamin. It says here in verse 18, "And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died." Okay, so we're clearly talking about a spiritual soul here, aren't we? Her soul was in departing, meaning that she was dying. She was about to die. In the process of dying, if you will, her soul was in the process of departing from her, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. Okay. So that being said, is that you can see that the spirit without the body is dead, but also the soul without the body is dead. Now, when you're dealing with unsaved people, okay, go to Revelation chapter 20. We deal with people that die in their sins. I believe, obviously, their soul leaves them, their spirit leaves their body, and their body's dead, just like us, okay? So that's no difference there. But the difference is, a saved person, the spirit doesn't leave the soul, okay? Those stay together because the soul is alive, and it's never going to die because you have everlasting life. But someone dies in their sins, I believe that you actually have what the Bible says here, dividing asunder soul and spirit. And you actually have the fact that someone, when they die in their sins, when someone that's unsaved dies, their spirit, I'm just going to tell you straight up, their spirit returns unto God that gave it, their soul goes to hell, their body goes to the grave. But that means that that soul is dead. When a saved person dies, their soul and their spirit leave their body because they'd be asking from the body to be present with the Lord. That returns unto God that gave it, but our soul goes to heaven because we have eternal life. There's no separation. There's no dividing of our soul and spirit there. Our body dies, though. And that's the difference between a saved person and an unsaved person as far as what happens at death. Okay. Right now, you know, unsaved people, you know, the only thing that's keeping them from hell is the fact that they still have a spirit. They still have life physically here on the earth. Their spirit is still there that God has given to them. But as soon as that's taken away, if they don't get saved, then their soul is going to be going to a place called hell, and they're going to be dead, but they're still conscious. And that's why I believe the soul is dealing with your consciousness, which people still can't explain. Like, if you asked any type of psychologist, sociologist, you know, anybody that's dealing with that subject of consciousness, they have no idea. Like, what causes that, what it is, right? It's called the spiritual realm, right? Metaphysics, if you will, which just means, like, something that's outside the physical realm. And go to, did I have you go to Revelation chapter 20? Go to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 here. I want you to look at this as I read it, and I want you to see if it mentions a spirit at all here. Okay. I already know the answer. You probably already know the answer, but I want you to read this and know that we're talking about people going, being cast into the lake of fire here. I want you to see whether it ever says they're alive. I want you to see if it ever says they're living. Because notice what it says here in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it,